Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit this week. Let's come to the Father in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you and praise you and thank you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And Lord, I want to worship you and praise you and thank you for being our Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you for this magnificent book that we carry in our hand called the Owner's Manual. I want to praise you and thank you for this book. And thank you that it means what it says and that we can do what it says we can do. And we can absolutely learn all about who we are as sons and daughters of God. Lord, I praise you for all these magnificent promises. And may you bless the word today as it goes out. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, we've been talking about all these wonderful things this week that the Holy Spirit will do for you if you will be obedient and do what he says. Now, I think that is the main secret that the devil has hid from us as Christians, as we must be obedient to the Word of God for the Lord to do these wonderful things for us. In other words, too many Christians are out there living in sin, and they're living like the devil's children or the devil's kids when they should realize they're children of the Most High God. And we should walk holy in obedience, walk in a love relationship with everyone as children of God. That's where we should be walking. When you walk there, then the Lord will do great and wonderful things for you. He certainly has for me. I have seen him do some wonderful things. Now then, in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, God is a God of integrity. He is a God that when he speaks, he means exactly what he says, both on our parts, good and bad. If we do something bad or something wrong, then the consequences are always there. You technically never get by with anything. It's always recorded, and it will bring forth a curse if you do something that's worthy of a curse. You will open the door to the demonic world. So don't open that door. Walk holy in obedience to the Word of God, and then when you do, the Lord will absolutely do everything he said he would do. Because in Numbers 23:19, he said he's not a man, he cannot lie. And if he said it, he will do it or make it good. And it's wonderful to know that he is that kind of a God. Praise the Lord. Now there's another place that the Lord says in Psalms 89:34. He says, my covenant, which is the word of God, the written covenant that we have, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Well, the word of God is the book that he has put out here for you and me. This is the only book in the world that will never and can never be edited. It cannot be changed. Now, man may make changes in it. Man, even though as prayerfully as we read over this book, we make mistakes. And there is little things in the Word of God that people have, especially different commentators or different people that have got together and have studied and rewritten this book, there is little mistakes here and there in different translations. Or today, many of the translations have just left out many, many verses. I mean, it's amazing when you compare these in a computer. And, of course, the NIV is one of those that have left out many verses. I mean, I used to use the NIV a lot, but I don't use it anymore virtually at all to teach from because it has too many verses that are left out. It's just, I mean, important verses. Like, for instance, I'll just give you a quick one. Mark 11:26 is not in the NIV. And it's a very, very important, powerful verse to be missing. But there's many like that in the NIV. So if you do use the NIV, then be very careful. Always, whatever translation you use, check it or compare it side by side with the as close to you can get in the original Hebrew and the Greek. Read it and study it with a Hebrew and Greek concordance and Hebrew and Greek dictionary, and that'll help you a whole lot, and that's where you'll find out what many different people have said. Every translation, I've never read a single translation that didn't have things in it that would that could mean other things in the original Hebrew or Greek. And I'll give you a little example of this, even in the King James. That's the one I use to teach from exclusively, the King James, although I read many translations. But one night in the King James, I was reading a scripture that is so well known to most people that lead people to Christ on a regular basis. And it was Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. Now, in Romans 10, 8 and 9, in verse 9, it says, of course, I'll just quote the whole thing to you. It starts, says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach, that if you will confess with your lips or your mouth Jesus is Lord and will believe in your heart that the Father raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, saved to me means one thing. But that night I clicked on the word saved, and it automatically, since I had the Hebrew and the Greek, both the dictionaries and everything, synchronized with the King James Bible. When I clicked on the word saved, it automatically pulled in the Greek text the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. Well, that automatically pulled in the Greek dictionary definition in English, and I had no idea that the word sozo meant five different things. But the word sozo means saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. Wow, you talk about a revelation. When I found out that word meant all of those things, I then went to the word sozo and done a search on the word sozo in the Greek. And I found out the word sozo was used 120 times in 103 different verses in the King James or in the Greek text. So I went to the King James and I read every one of those 120 places in the next several hours. As I read those and studied those, one time it would be talking about someone that needed deliverance, someone needed to be made whole, someone needed to be saved, someone needed to be healed, someone needed to be preserved, so forth. I thought, wow, if this means this, then that means that if I confess Jesus with my mouth and believe with my heart the Father raised him from the dead, I can be saved. But if that's as far as I know and that's all of the information I understand, then by faith, that's as far as I can go. Well, that's a good place to go because that'll get you saved from the pit of hell and get you translated over into the kingdom of light where at least you can go to heaven when you die. And that's a wonderful place to go. But it'll cheat you out of a big majority of things that's rightfully yours on the earth right now. I didn't know that I was made whole. I didn't know I was healed. I didn't know I was preserved. And I didn't know I was delivered. So when I learned that, I learned the devil has no hold on me whatsoever. That if I will walk in faith, in love, then I am made whole. I am healed. So let me tell you, I began to check the scriptures out in detail, and I found out that not only did Jesus, when he went to that cross and poured his blood out for you, not only did he save you, but when he said, it's finished, that's what he meant. It was finished. He had defeated the devil. He had done everything that was necessary for the body of Christ that was going to come into existence. He had healed them. He had saved them. He had made them whole. He had done everything beyond our wildest dreams. He had already done and completed. In fact, when he says with his stripes you are healed, in Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24, what he means there is that he had bore your sickness and your pain, but even before he went to the cross, through the beating that he took before he was actually hung on that cross and poured his blood out, he healed you and he made you whole. It's amazing what he did. And then when he poured his blood out, He bore yours and my sins. So he said that since we are now dead to sin through his life, through his death, we are dead to sin, then we should stay dead to sin. We should live unto righteousness or holiness. And if we will walk in him, in fact, 1 Peter 2:21 makes an awesome statement. 1 Peter 2:21 says, and this was the example that Christ left for you and me to follow. In him there was no sin. If that's the example he left for you and me to follow, and if he told us that in him there was no sin, and that's the example we're supposed to follow, then we need to be striving every day as his children, as his body, that there be absolutely zero sin in our life. Not a little bit of sin. He said, be ye perfect. Now, I've had a lot of people say, Thurman, it's impossible for me as a human being to be perfect. Well, if it is, then God's a liar. And we know that's not true, that God cannot lie. We just quoted that over Numbers 23:19 a while ago, that God cannot lie. Since he cannot lie and his word cannot be altered or changed, we know it's forever settled in heaven. Then if he says in Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as my Father which is in heaven is perfect. What do you do with that? That's a direct command from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus our Master, that our goal is be ye perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, if he says in 1 Peter 2:21 that this is the example he left for us to follow, that in him there was no sin, then the goal for you and me is to be no sin. And then he said, neither was guile or deceit in his mouth. So it's not to be any in yours and mine. And then he says, even when he was threatened, when somebody did something to him, even when they threatened him, he did not threaten back. He turned them over to him who judges righteously. Now, let me tell you, that's hard to do. When people are threatening you or going to do something to you or that you feel like they're cheating you, it's difficult to just back off. But that's what we got to do as Christians and say, Lord, I turn them over to you. And then he says, after you've done all that, he said, you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Now, there is a goal. That's what we should do. And then he says, now, if you'll do this, by my stripes you are healed. So if we'll do that, we don't have to be sick anymore, ever again, by faith in the name of Jesus. If you'd like any of our teaching, give us a call, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'd be happy to send you free and postpaid these teachings, or you can go to the web, www.tlsm.org, tlsm.org, and there you can get our schedule, you can order things, and we'll send it all to you free and postpaid. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.